When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
You see where your business can go. To get there, you may need
another 10 trucks.
At Century Insurance, we put more than 115 years of industry experience to work to help protect you as you
launch a new delivery service
or
expand into a new region
and reach your business goals. Century, right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
Once upon a time, three bears found a golden-haired guest who wouldn't leave their home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
Should we introduce ourselves?
No, Barry. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Welcome in to this Friday edition of Longhorn Livestream. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by Lifetime Longhorns, CJ Vogel, Rod Babers. Rod's the fastest guy on this threesome. For sure. I'd have to have a Tesla to be faster than Rod. And speaking of Teslas, DeCorian Moore did decommit from LSU, and we're going to start calling him the Duncanville Tesla after Rod breaks down his video. But DeCorian Moore, that was the big news. He decommitted from LSU last night. I've been in contact with members of his circle even in the last hour. And anybody expecting a decision soon for DeCorian Moore, not happening. He's going to go through this official visit process in June. I think we'll see a decision in July or right before his senior season. Similar time frame to what Colin Simmons did last year, guys. So an early August, CJ? If I remember right, maybe August 8th, 10th, 11th, right in that area code. I was there. I just can't remember. It's been such a crazy year. But DeCorian Moore has decommitted from LSU. The LSU members of the coaching staff were actually at Duncanville on Monday, 3 days prior to the decommitment. I think LSU's a long shot. I think we'll know in the next few days, maybe even could know this weekend, if LSU's still a school he'll even officially visit. Texas, Ohio State, Oregon are going to get the official visits for sure. The June 7th through 9th weekend is not possible because he's going to play in the OT7 Nationals 7-on-7 tournament. So that leaves three official visit weekends. A little extra part of that is Keelan Russell, the quarterback from Duncanville. They're not a package deal. If Keelan goes to one school, has nothing to do with DeCorian, but Oregon is trying to get both those guys on campus, and the chances are they'll officially visit together. That could be next weekend, could be May 31st through June 2nd. We'll have to see. But I think Texas, I have it at 65%. I think there's confidence in Austin, CJ, and Rod. And I think Texas is the favorite, and I think Ohio State's going to make a big push, and Oregon's going to try their best. But Rod, you know, CJ and I talked about DeCorian a lot this morning, and there's other things we'll talk about. We can talk about Scottie Scheffler. We anything you guys want to talk about? Bobby Burton's at a Texas One Fun golf event, a golf tournament there in Austin. There's the Brooks and Dunn concert tomorrow night. I think even TJ Ford's going to be at that one tomorrow night with the Texas One Fun. And the University of Texas. But, Rod, what did you see on video with DeCorian Moore? What makes him special to you? Because I call him Super Freak, and now we're going to call him the Duncanville Tesla. So what you got?
Man, there's a lot, actually. The first thing that stands out is the acceleration in his game. I mean, this guy's twitchy. He accelerates, whether you're talking about running routes, the top of the route, or when you talk about once he gets the ball, exactly, as a yak daddy, yards at a catch, he's just got this great acceleration in his game. You can tell, and Sark loves guys who are awesome on movement routes are when guys getting the football essentially on the move, not stop routes. This guy's built for movement routes, your post routes, your six routes, your nine routes, routes where you can get him the football already in stride so that he can hit that acceleration button. Some guys, I call it that location acceleration, that they have a certain gear, but when the ball's in the air, when they're tracking it, they hit another gear. And as a DB, I've experienced this before, and it's terrifying. Because you're running full speed with this guy, and then the ball's thrown, you both are looking at the ball, and then he hits another gear, and you go, whoa, I don't have that gear. And he's one of those types of guys. And the acceleration in this game, also when you're playing him off coverage, he's a nightmare because he closes that cushion so fast. Mm-hmm. That cushion, you know, that's my safety net, but he closes the cushion really fast when you're playing off coverage. So it's almost a nightmare to play off coverage with him trying to read a three-step, but also keep up. Look at that. Once he gets the ball in his hands, like, he's gone. His acceleration is next level, guys. It is crazy. Whether you're talking about, you know, shorts, intermediate or deep routes, it doesn't matter. And this is something I like about his game. You'll see kind of watching the film here, some examples of it. There are some parts in his game that really show off his football character. He doesn't mind blocking. And he's not a huge guy. What was he, 5'11", 180, something like that?
5'11", 180.
Yeah, he doesn't mind bringing the ruckus on blocks. He doesn't give up on plays. So if he gets the ball in traffic and contested catches, he's about that. He doesn't give up on plays. So there's a contested catch situation. He's going up for the football. He believes he has a right to it. But even when he gets the football in traffic on screens, acceleration, look at this dude, screen passes, things like that, he never gives up on the play, man. He'll have these extraordinary plays where he'll get 8 yards, but he ran about 20 to get those 8 yards. And he's one of those types of players, man, that can make you miss in the phone booth. So I love his game. I think he's really twitchy. Between he and a guy like Ryan Wingo in the future, good Lord. Exactly.
Okay, so that brings us to our super chat question. But first of all, I want CJ to pick who he'd rather see Rod defend, and then we'll see who Rod would rather defend. And Rod, while we're going through this, a big question on Coffee and Football this morning that we kept having for CJ and I is there a comparison for DeCorian Moore? I'll give you time to think about that. You're pretty good on that stuff too. So is there a comparison? But CJ, who would you rather see Rod try to play man against, Moore or Wingo? Not today. I'm talking 99 through 2003 Rod at Texas.
Oh boy. Like who would I want to see Rod? Who would be the better one-on-one, or who do I think Rod has a better chance against? Because I think all three would be great. I mean, Rod at his peak was locking down all those boys back in the day in practice, all those five-star wide receivers, way back. Hey, there's those competitions are going to be back. I'd like to see Rod go against Ryan Wingo because I know his catch radius, you know, provides issues for the typical cornerback. And I think Rod, with the style of play that you had, you know, up physical and close body, I think that would provide some issues for him. But at the same time, those jump balls, those 50-50s, I mean, Rod, I gotta see those hops again, man. I think that'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier too, Jerry. I mean, they're a little bit of different wide receivers. They're on the different spectrum of those five-star guys, you know, big body kind of possession, but also a 10-6 guy for Ryan Wingo, whereas DeCorian Moore, kind of twitchier, a little faster. Can certainly, as you said, Rod, can make you miss very quickly. So I like Ryan Wingo because of the big body challenge that would provide, but I'd love to hear from you. Who do you think is that guy, you know, you're looking at right now saying, all right, I want to go against him, or who's the biggest competition there?
Hey, before Rod hits that, I just want to say this about this video. He is making really fast guys look slow.
Exactly.
Just think about the teams that Duncan plays. All right, Rod, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you, man. His acceleration is freaky. It's crazy. But getting back to it, okay, so I'll get to the chat here. Thank you, Dax. We appreciate that. If I had to choose, which would I rather play man up against? Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to – honestly, it's crazy to say. I'm going to probably pick Ryan Wingo because I want a bigger target to go up against because I want to play press. It almost helps me to have a bigger guy. I know the catch radius is an issue, but the way that I played man, like I said, I never really played the ball. Longhorn fans know why, right? I never played the ball. I'm going to get sticky as hell to the man. I'm going to play his eyes. I'm going to play his hands. I'm going to be sticky with him. And Ryan Wingo's not necessarily – we even talked about this. He's not a refined route runner just yet. That's coming. His game. Right now, he's just freakishly athletic and has a lot of elite traits in his game. He's got top-end speed. He's got the catch radius. He's got the ability to win those contested catch battles. I'd rather have that guy because I'll be there to at least – this guy might leave me. Yeah. This guy here, if my hips are turned the wrong way, I open up my hips to the boundary, and then this guy flips me and goes post-corner or corner post to the field – he can end up making me look bad. I think Ryan Wingo can do that, but I don't necessarily think that's his game. This is a personal preference. I hated guys like DeCorian Moore. Guys that were twitchy as they are fast. Because yeah, those guys, like I said, my makeup speed, Jerry, you talk about my speed, it's not as much of a factor with right. guys like this. Like I said, people ask me between Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell, whether they go up against, and I say, I'm going up against A.D. Mitchell. Because A.D. Mitchell, I'll be there to make the play. He's going to try to win the contested catch battle. He's going to try to use body position. He's going to try to big body me. You know what I mean? Try to box me out. Xavier Worthy is going to try to leave me in the dust. And if I make one wrong move as a DB, I could pay for it dearly. My makeup speed and my speed, it will still play a factor potentially with Wingo. Potentially play a factor with A.D. Mitchell. With guys like this dude, his next level acceleration, I don't want to have to pay the lethal price for one bad fundamental mistake in my technique, which is what these kind of guys make you do. So I'm just, there's more margin for error, I think, for me with a Ryan Wingo. But still talking about, do I choose my own, pick your poison, right? Do I want to die yeah. by a knife or a gun point? Like it's as a DB, I'm still looking at the same terrifying situation. I don't want to face either one of them dudes.
All right, so I don't know if we're allowed to play this, but can we please play the official NCAA Football 24 trailer on YouTube that dropped a few hours ago, only 2 minutes long. I'm asking Matt about that, if we can actually play that, what we're allowed to do on YouTube. So I'll let you guys know that.
Hey, Jerry, can I throw out the AJJ_sports? This is it. And it's beautiful. AJJ_sports, he describes it perfectly. Depends if you want to be mossed or you want to be burnt toast. Yes, I think I'd rather be mossed because mossed, I think I got a shot. I'm right there. He made big body me and make the catch over my head, and then I end up on a Sports Center highlight. But at least I was there to make the play. But when I get left like burnt toast, to me as a DB, that one to me is more devastating. That I'm not even in a picture of the highlight. He's just gone. I'm like, where's that? Where's DB? Oh, he's back there.
Hey, Rod, isn't the worst thing as a corner looking at butt cheeks and cleats running away from you?
You just know. That's the worst thing,
right? Yeah. Oh, everybody's, man, like, butt cheeks and cleats for the 40 yards. That's not fun. That's not what I'm here for.
Great description, Jerry. In a nutshell, you're right. I do not want to see the butt cheeks. No, I'd rather get mossed. Now, thank you, AJJ. I'd rather get mossed. There you go.
Hey, by the way, somebody brought up Santana Moss this morning for DeCorian Moore. I'm actually going to go back and try to find some Santana Moss Miami stuff. That's a pretty good.
I was going to say Joey Galloway was mine, but I'm old school.
There you go.
I was going to say I see some Joey Galloway in this game because of the acceleration, but that Santana Moss one, that's good. That's good.
Santana Moss Galloway's good too. That one didn't come up this morning. That's a good one.
Just because, yeah, because those guys, like I said, those twitchy dudes like that, man, they freak me out. They worry me. The big body size, I'm trying to get my hands on that receiver so I can control them a little bit. Yep. And the big bodies, you know, they actually don't mind you getting their hands on them a little bit because they feel like they can absorb the contact. They feel like they can absorb it. And sometimes it's even in their game, they actually want that so that they can manipulate you as a defender a little bit, get your hips turned, get you moving runways. Some of them big Roddy Roberts, they're like, no, come on. I want you to get into me so I can boom, club you over the top and get going. So it all depends on the style of the receiver, but I kind of like mixing it up. And I was a little dude, but I like that as opposed to, all right, so track meet for four straight quarters and make one mistake and it could be ghost. It could be, you know, touchdown, house call. Yeah. I don't like that. That freaks me out, and that changes my game. Then I operate from a sense of fear. Then my cushion is bigger. I go from 7 yards to about 9 to 10 yards. Then I'm turning my hips way too early. Mm-hmm. Then when I play press, I'm backing out way too early. I'm not being aggressive. Those guys change your mindset, man. So that's a personal preference, though. Some guys, they want to make it a track meet the whole damn game.
All right, I think Matthew Hutchison, I think he said we can play this trailer. So this is the NCAA football 2024 trailer, I believe, we're about to play here for Texas fans. No transfers there. Transfers there.
Man.
Hardest schedule ever. We'll narrate this.
Graphics way different than when your boy was on there.
Yeah, you want me to start humming over the top, Jerry? I'll get a bass going so you can start narrating it.
Getting emotional on here. Oh, there you go. That's the UT shout out. I like that. Another one. That's another one. My goodness. That's two of them.
They made the motorcycles look pretty good in this game.
Wake Forest made it. That's good. Good on Dave Clawson. Good job. Pitt made it.
Who was that? I was at Penn State. Yep. Oh, there you go.
That's the only mention of Oklahoma in there, I'm pretty sure. Wyoming with a lot of screen time. How about that?
Wow. I know.
About that. There you go. There's Donovan Edwards.
That was the only Ohio State mention besides Brutus later on, too. Just getting stiff-armed into the dirt.
Oh, I like the foot drag.
I don't like the orange cleats they had Quinn in. Oh, man. Oh, anybody wear orange cleats around there? Mm-hmm. Texas don't wear no orange cleats, man. It's crazy. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's a nice shout out to Bama right there. Okay. Okay.
That was almost a 4th-and-31 play, by the way.
Oh, man.
Well done. Hey,
I'm
getting excited. I'm going to have to, like, get with CJ at one point just so I can get on the game a little bit because, you know, yeah, I got a kid at the house, so I can't just be playing the game. I'm going to have to, like, act like I got a business meeting or something and then just to go hang out with CJ and go play the game for, like, an hour or two. That's going to happen. I was back home. You ahead of time, that's going to happen, just so you know.
Right, I was back home for Mother's Day, and we had the grandmas in town, and, of course, they're asking, CJ, when are you going to get a girlfriend that we can meet? When are you going to be able to bring someone back home for Thanksgiving or the holidays? And, well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be before this game comes out, that's for sure. And when the game comes out, I sure as hell won't be out on the market looking for anything. We're going to have the game at home. I mean, come on, what more do I need?
Yeah, because I hear some of the features are crazy, like building your own playbook. I'm like, man, how long would that take? That sounds like a 5, 6, 7 hour thing right there to build my own playbook. Just me as a guy right there, I'm already route down the rabbit hole. I ain't even played the game yet. I'm just building a playbook. That's what I'd be. So the features are crazy on this thing, man.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild.
All right, so it's all DeCorian Moore all the time plus receiver talk. And if you haven't been over to OnTexasFootball.com, by the way, not a better time to go over being on Texas OTFOG. $39.95 annual subscription. We have four different stories on wide receiver recruiting there. Plus CJ broke down DFW recruiting. But Andrew Venegas, if Moore commits to Texas, do you think French will come to? Yeah, I don't think their recruitments have anything to do with each other, so to speak. I think Jamie French and his mom really like the visit to Texas. That's what I would say after being at Mandarin a week ago Monday, so I guess it's been about 12 days ago now. I think that him, Jamie, and the mom really like the visit. I think Chris Jackson's got a really good relationship with that family as much as he does Jamie. So I think that puts Texas in a really good spot. There are some, you know, right now the talk is Texas probably leads LSU. I talked to somebody that kind of, their prediction is Texas, Tennessee become the final two. Miami tries to make a big June run, but that's not where he'll end up, and LSU will be there as well. So we'll see what happens with that. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot entering the June official visits, but you guys know how I am. Let's see how it plays out. We're in the NIL day and age. The June official visits, the pressure really starts for these kids in this process in about 2 weeks when they take those first visits. So there's this one. No Texas Tech. I guess EA Sports doesn't run through Lubbock. It's a good one, Will Butler.
Hey,
I
agree. Jared, real quick, going back to DeCorian Moore and when he might take that Oregon visit, you said that June 7th through 9th weekend off the table because of OT7.
Yeah.
That June 14th weekend is looking like when Oregon will try to get a lot of guys on campus. Josh Petty, the offensive lineman, Lincoln Cure, Noah McHale, the linebacker out of California, Jordan Davison, the modern-day running back that left Texas out of his top four. They're all coming in that June 14th through 16th weekend. If you go back and look at what Texas is working with right now, of course, they have that. They have a big weekend coming in that weekend, June 14th through 16th as well. But we all know that June 21st through 23rd is where Texas is really loading up on a lot of priority targets right now. And, of course, that's kind of where we've pictured him coming in since 2 or 3 months ago when all the official visit news started breaking.
Yeah, so what'll be interesting there is if him and Keelan visit Oregon the same weekend, so Keelan has Alabama May 31st, June 2nd, so they'd have to go to Oregon next weekend if they're going to go together. Then he has Florida June 7th through 9th. Then that 14th, 16th, 21st, 23rd, one of those two, will be Oregon for Keelan Russell. So it'll be interesting to see then when Ohio State is with DK Moore as well. I think he's going to make those three official visits. I'm not going to be surprised if LSU doesn't receive an official. I'm not saying for sure that's the case, but it wouldn't shock me. So we'll see where this one goes. Albert, a question here, basketball. I need to take this hoops one because I just put an update up on TexasFootball.com on Portal Combat Basketball Recruiting. JT Toppin, the New Mexico transfer, originally from Dallas Faith Family Academy, 12.4 points, 12.1 points, 9.4 rebounds, something in that area code as a freshman there in New Mexico. He went through the NBA Combine last week. He's still in the draft going through pre-draft. He's late second round mocked. I expect him to come back to college. That's the expectation of the college coaches, to come back one more year. I actually talked to somebody this morning, probably about 11:30 or noon, about JT Toppin. And the thought there is Texas leads Texas Tech. Now, it's an NIL recruitment, but Texas leads Texas Tech, a couple others. So we'll see if Texas can close out JT Toppin. They've had a hell of a run in the portal this year. Then there's also the kid from Turkey, which I mentioned, Berkey. I will never pronounce his last name correct, so I'm not even going to try. The 6'9 skilled big from UCLA that hit the portal. Obviously, with Doge Balbe now part of the Texas staff, that helps if you're going to recruit a kid from Turkey. The problem is, and Texas really likes his upside as a college player. I mean, he's a really skilled left. He can shoot it. He sees the floor well. He's got to get more physical. But I think the problem Texas will have with him is there enough minutes to go around? They would take both guys if they could get him. I just don't think it'll happen. I don't think the minutes are going to match with Berkey. I think it's not that it's scared of competition thing. It's a thing of where there's some other options you can go to and play 25, 23, 25 minutes a game. Where Texas, that would be a stretch. JT Toppin, top guy on the board. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot there. But I just warn people, it's NIL. We'll see what happens in recruiting with that one. So let's see. Question here. All these wide receiver recruitments will be committed by the end of August. This is what we're talking about, guys. I think this is a good point here. DeCorian Moore, I think, is late July, early August. It'll be before his senior season. Jamie French told me 10 days ago, 12 days ago, whatever that was, early August. So look at July, early August there. Khalik Lockett, same before senior season. Kelshawn Johnson, same before senior season. To me, those are the top four guys for Texas. Now, we have a little news today as well. The guy, Tanook Hines from Decaney, He was very good as a sophomore, missed half his junior season. Then, Rod, he went out and ran 10.53 FAT 100 at 6'1", 190 this spring. And he went to state in the 200 and won 21 point something. Texas, Chris Jackson, Banks were by the school here in the last week. They're looking to schedule him for June 21st through 23rd. Tanook Hines to Caney, that would put him coming in the same weekend with his teammate, Nicholas Townsend, the freak, athlete freak at tight end from Decaney. So Tanook Hines may also kind of work his way in that conversation. He's got, let's see, who's he have? He has Baylor the 14th through 16th, but he won't go there. He has Notre Dame and USC the weekends prior. USC's May 31st through June 2nd with Nick Townsend. Then he goes to Notre Dame the 7th through 9th, who I think's been the favorite since they offered him in January. Now that Texas is making a push there again, I think Texas will get the last official visit over Ole Miss, but we'll see what Tanook decides during the next 24 hours on that. But so Tanook Hines might work his way into that conversation as well. Here you go, Antoine. I'll hit this one real quick before I want to get Rod's thoughts on, I want everybody's thoughts on what Bobby had a poll question on Texas football community the other day. Of these four guys, which, because Bobby and I discussed it, which new portal guys that are about to enroll from the portal at Texas, Silas Bolden, Bill Norton, Lo Lay, or Javion Cole will have the biggest impact on the Texas team in 24? I want to get you guys' thoughts on that because Bobby and I kicked that around with the chat two mornings ago. Antoine, I see samples at Oregon, Carrington, Arizona State dishing out offers to a lot of Texans. That's good work. They should. Arizona State needs to try to sign five or six Texas kids a year in the Big 12. No doubt about it. Oregon, the thing there is you have to cast a wide net in the state of Oregon, nationally, and in Texas to try to pull two or three of those Texas kids. Hard to get to. It's a great visit. It looks good in your top five. But when push comes to shove, not a lot of parents want That's tough to get to, and it's hard to get to. Yeah. So this one, let's talk about this, guys. Silas Bolden, Bill Norton, Jermaine Lole, and Javion Cole. The four guys from the portal that are about to enroll at Texas. Who do y'all see having the biggest impact on the team this year versus who needs to have the biggest impact on the team?
Well, it needs to be Javion Cole for me, and I think it will be.
I went, CJ. Go ahead, yeah.
I think it will be. That's an area of concern coming into the season. Of course, that secondary corners kind of matched into that. You lose Terrence Brooks with 19 starts, 25 career games, and that room thins out very quickly. I know we've talked about the versatility of Ajadeh Barriner, Jalen Gilbo, but at the end of the day, your proven cornerbacks are what helps your secondary most. And Texas has a great one right now with Manny Muhammad. They have a good one in Gavin Holmes, who has a lot of experience and snaps in his career. But we've seen him kind of have his struggles at times, of course, and we haven't quite yet seen him be that number one guy. Of course, when Ryan Watts went down a year ago, it was Manny Muhammad who took over those snaps instead of Holmes. And so for me, Javion Cole, with the opportunity at hand to walk into potentially a starting job this fall, that's big. Who needs to be? I still think it needs to be Javion Cole.
Hmm. Yeah. No, that's a really good question. In terms of Lole, Bill Norton, Silas Bolden, and Javion Cole. I'm inclined to agree with CJ about Javion Cole just because of the secondary and that cornerback spot opposite Malik Muhammad. But, oh, man, the D-tackle position. I mean, I might go with Bill Norton, honestly. I might go with a Bill Norton or a Lole. Maybe I'm a little split between those guys. She says, if Sark, I'll go back to Sark, right? Let's go back to Sark. We've been waiting on Sark to express concern about the secondary. He has none. Like, he, after the spring game, what did he say? He said, man, we need more big humans in the interior D-line. Josh Pate talked to him. Josh Pate said, hey, coach, what's your biggest concern? Well, the interior D-line. That's my biggest concern. He didn't mention the secondary at all. Hadn't mentioned the secondary. I'm a little concerned about it. Sark's not concerned about it. So Sark, I'm gonna trust in Sark that the secondary that he's got something up his sleeve, or the secondary is better off than we all assume it is. And I'll go with the interior D line. So I'm a little split on Lole's half position, but Lole might have the biggest ceiling to be a three down
Yes.
Tackle for you.
Yes.
You don't really have that. So I guess maybe I'll lean Lole here, but I think it's in the interior D line. Like I said, I'm gonna go off what Sark said, because Lole's got the potential, at least based on what we saw him in terms of where he was trending his true sophomore year. He was among the best D tackles in the country as a run stuffer. And then even in 2020, when he didn't play but what, four games, he was still an elite run stopper, but also was becoming an impactful pass rusher on, and a guy that can create pressure on passing downs. So it might be Lole. He might be the guy, if you're starting to look at it, that could be in terms of those four guys you're looking at.
Yeah, so I think what's interesting too about it, I went with Javion Cole because I think Texas D-line by numbers, but then I also posed this question to the chat the other day. Is it Bill Norton early in the season at Michigan? That's the kind of the question. Does this change from first 2 weeks to Oklahoma and the rest of the season? I think what's interesting, a lot of people brought up Silas Bolden on the chat. What's interesting about Bolden is he's going to have three chances to impact the game for Texas: punt return, wide receiver, and possibly kickoff return if it's him and Golden back there. Yep. So he could make one play and decide the Michigan game. But he may not be the guy that's most impactful when you think about this list, but he could have one play to flip a game. It's very interesting. Jermaine Lole is, to me, guys, he's become the wild card on the Texas team next year. Because if you go back this – and you can find highlights of it on YouTube. His sophomore first 2 years at Arizona State, you can see why he was on the NFL radar. Yep. I mean, 71 tackles, 6.5 sacks in year two of college football. Antonio Pierce and Herm Edwards, they knew NFL draft picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew NFL talent. They were recruiting those guys, Jalen Daniels, Lole, Ricky Pearsall, the other receiver, IU. I mean, they had some NFL guys that they were really evaluated and got on those guys early before they became bigger recruits, especially in the case of Jalen Daniels. So Lole, if he built off of last year coming back, CJ, what was it, 400 snaps he played at Louisville last year?
Yep.
If he plays 400 snaps for Texas next year and puts up 30 tackles and 4 sacks, that's going to be a difference maker for Texas.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the question, is can he, his confidence build from last year after missing 2 years with injury? Does that confidence build and that production almost double? He's not going to be the same player he was before, a triceps, an elbow, and a knee surgery. But can he become half of what he was in terms of production? If he does, that's a game changer for Texas.
I like what you said about him being the wild card, because, again, that Texas defensive line room has plenty of bodies. You know, I don't think anybody's looking at the depth as the issue. It's about who's going to be your top end guys. And he's proven to be capable of having elite traits at that defensive line spot. It's just been a while since we've seen them in action. If I had to rank those four guys in order of importance for this year, it'd be Cole 1, Norton 2, and then Lole and Silas Bolden 4. And I put Norton over Lole because, again, if you look at the body of, or I guess the group of bodies in that interior line group at the moment, the three tech position is covered. There's plenty of bodies there. Bill Norton having 170 total snaps a year ago in the A-gap over the center, that's more than almost everybody else on the team combined. So that's where I see his fit coming in a little bit more important, and where Texas needs to utilize him in this upcoming season. Whereas, again, I think Lole has a higher ceiling. I think he's probably a better football player than Bill Norton, but because of position scarcity, and again, this proves my point with Javion Cole as well, you need those guys to come in and be physically ready to play right away and make an impact. Silas Bolden's going to make an impact in special teams. There's no doubt about that. He's too talented not to. But if you don't have him returning kicks, Texas has capable guys already in the fold. They have plenty of wide receivers that we've talked about already this spring as well. He's just a little bit more talented and advanced than those guys at the moment. But my point is, there's not as large as a drop-off with him not on the field than I think you would see with a Javion Cole or a Bill Norton right over your center.
Agreed.
All right, Rod B., we got a question for you. Who is the toughest wide receiver you covered in high school, college, and the NFL?
Oh,
Ryan Wingo.
Toughest. Right? Roy Williams wasn't easy to defend either, and Roy Williams was great. I got a chance to defend man, Steve Smith was probably it once. I mean, he was – that dude's a freaky, freaky dude. That's a next-level receiver.
Any similarities between him and DK Moore?
You probably could put him in that kind of – I don't know – I don't know if he's a
Steve had that type of acceleration.
Yeah, he did have that kind of acceleration, but Steve Smith was also physical for that. Yeah. He had kind of, I mean, just football players who almost their frame doesn't match up with their mentality of physicality, like Quandre, right? Quandre Diggs, like a dude that physical. He's like 5'7", and he's you know what I mean, and being that physical, it doesn't really match up with his frame. Steve Smith was like that. Steve Smith was hard to hard to bring down, and Steve Smith. He, like you said, he had the next level acceleration, but also be one of those guys that, man, he would try if he could to run you over and to initiate contact. You don't really get that with smaller wide receivers. But I do like that about DK Moore's game. That, man, he's not afraid to block. Remember, A.D. Mitchell was great, but A.D. Mitchell was an enthusiastic blocker. Even when by the time he got to Texas, he wasn't an enthusiastic blocker. This young man takes pride in it. He takes pride in blocking. He's a guy that's really good after the catch and believes, even though he's outnumbered, in terms of 3-4 defenders around him, he still believes he can get some of those yak yards, and he does get some of those yak yards. Those are guys – remember CeeDee Lamb's play against Texas when he was at Oklahoma, where you got 3-4 Texas defenders around him, and he still ends up juking all three of them and then getting the explosive play. He's got that kind of ability where – you think you got him matched up in a phone booth and still he's able to get out. I mean, Cedric Baxter did that in the spring game. He had one of those plays where Texas guys had him, cornered on the sideline, and he's able to escape and still get you some extra yards. Those are special kind of players who can do that. And he's got that kind of ability.
By the way, just a little quick update before we get to this next question. For those of following along on Scotty Scheffler's Morning and Now Day, 4-under through 14, 8-under, 3 off the lead. Colin Morikawa was on fire. 11 under, great player, lock Hall of Fame player. Xander Schauffele hadn't teed up. But Scotty Scheffler, guys, let's talk this real quick before we get back to football. If he shot 65 or 66 today, hours after going to the clink,
going to jail.
Would that be the best 66 in the history of the PGA Tour?
it'd be the most legendary. Most legendary, that's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I got arrested 3 hours ago. Get me back for my tea time. I'm going to go put up a 65 or 66. That'd be probably he would have to say that's the best round he's ever played, I'm going with. So
more times than not, you hear about getting arrested after, arrested in the wee hours of the morning after the round of golf, right? Normally how that goes, not beforehand.
We've had a couple of questions.
Hello. Can I say something about that, about the Scotty Scheffler thing really quickly, though? Because I know it's crazy. But, I mean, think about it, though. This is one of the complaints about Scotty Scheffler, because he's been dominant, probably on the most dominant run we've seen for a golfer since Tiger Woods in his prime. Like, he's on a heater. Just had a kid, too, his first child, 2 weeks ago. And one of the complaints is that he's been so dominant that he doesn't have a peer, really, in golf right now. There's no rival to Scotty Scheffler. That's how good he's been. And sometimes that can hurt the ratings, right? You're on a rival. You don't want to be a competition downstretch, but he's been just – just separating from the rest of the field. He's been that good. But if he wants to become a main attraction and have mass appeal to people who are not even golf fans, like Tiger did, right? Like, that's what you want to do for your sport, be an ambassador to the sport. And people are saying, because he's very humble, he's a man that's, motivated by, his family and his faith. Those are like the two most important things in his life. He's a really great guy. He doesn't really seek the spotlight. He's got endorsements, but he's not trying to be on every damn commercial out there. He's just worried about, faith, family, and his sport and his profession. And honestly, golf, he admits, that's down on the priority list for me. I'm all about faith and family. So he's one of those great players, kind of like Jokic or, one of those that doesn't want to embrace being a superstar, even though that's his level of play and his achievement. This, I don't know, but incident, whatever it is, and because it wasn't serious, now there was somebody who lost their life. It was a fatality there, so that was very unfortunate. But him going to jail, it's actually because it's become the biggest story right now in sports, and I guarantee you, because it's kind of penetrated pop culture, they'll be talking about it on late night talk shows. SNL is probably going to have some skit about it, because especially if he wins, Jerry. If he comes out of jail and comes to win the damn major coming out of jail. Oh, man, it's going to be the biggest story in sports. And you could argue, even though it's a, obviously for him, I'm sure it's a moment that he'd like to forget, it's going to allow him to penetrate pop culture in a way that he would never on his own do. He's just not that kind of guy. But it's going to allow him to wedge his way into pop culture a little bit for people who don't know who Scottie Scheffler is, the most dominant golfer on the planet. Now they'll be like, is that that guy that went, he went to jail and he came out and won the major? And they're going to be, I guarantee the ratings for this round where he got out of jail and then shot, what'd you say he shot, Jerry?
Well, he's 4-under through 14. Right. So he's 8-under for, if he shoots 6-under today, if he shoots 66, 65 today, after being in the, getting to the tee 5 minutes, 5 minutes for his tee time after being in the clink on the way to Valhalla.
Stuff of legend. Stuff of legend.
That's hey, his orange was a little too light for me, though.
By the way, we're not turning this to a golf show, but I had a friend text me earlier that said this is the best thing to happen to golf since Tiger won the Masters.
Exactly.
And he's probably right because all the golf talk the last 3 years has been live in PGA Tour. So somebody asked, is this my big board of all the recruits? I haven't even looked at this behind me. I'm actually in TJ Ford's facility for the show today. So I'm at TJ's place today. So I haven't even looked, but I probably shouldn't have that on here. I don't know what it is. So we had a question here. Michael Ortiz. All right. What's that? Okay. This is a question. I want to address this running back depth at Texas. I hope we're a pass first team because we can't afford our two backs to get banged up. We lose them. Who do we have? So I actually think running back guys, even though two guys are freshmen and Trey Weisner's an unproven sophomore in terms of amount of touches in a game, I think running back is as deep as any position in the Texas program. Coming out of the spring, Rod, I had somebody tell me they thought there were 4 or 5 future NFL guys in the running back room.
Ooh.
Well, there's only 5 guys left. So that means 80 to 100% of those guys.
It's a pretty good hit rate.
Yeah.
What are y'all's thoughts there? I mean, look, Christian Clark, Jarrett Gibson have to do it in the game, right? They showed a little bit in the spring game. Trey Weiser's got to do it in a game, but he can. I think we've seen that already. But obviously, Jaden Blue will take a big step this year. I think Cedric Baxter is going to take a big step this year as well. Where do you guys come out on running back depth headed into August?
I mean, I trust that room. I mean, Texas, I believe at this point, what are you talking about, 5 running backs in the NFL, somewhere around there, the second highest number in the NFL. And they're going to put in a couple of more. Like you said, Jerry, the next couple of years, they're going to put in a few more in the NFL. That's Texas may have the best running back room culture in the country. And that even goes back before Tishard Trust got there to Stan Drayton, who was doing a great job with that group. So, I can believe that because that, like I said, and that, the culture in the room is probably more impressive than even the talent. And like you said, the talent, you got 3-4 guys that got NFL ceilings and Sunday skill sets in that room. And they're being developed by one of the best coaches in the country in Tishard Trust. So, I agree with you. I think Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter are definitely there. That's easy. But the other guys, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Guys like, you know, Jarrett Gibson and Christian Clark and those guys, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Go ahead, CJ.
I was going to say a couple things. I think CJ Baxter might actually see the largest leap of any individual player on the team this year. Of course, you know, you look at Blue and you look at Brooks a year ago, both of them averaged from 6.1 to 6.6 yards per carry. Baxter was kind of in that 4.5 to 4.7 range. So, like, if you consider the talent that he was coming out of high school, being a freshman running back and then coming in a year later with another spring under his belt, another year in the weight room, I would expect that number to be very close to the 6 mark, if not over it this year. And, of course, talking about the depth in that room, I thought it was very interesting listening to Jaden Blue earlier this spring talk about, we know we need each other. This isn't – it's a friendly competition, but we don't look at each other like we're competing against one another. Like, we're competing for snaps, but at the end of the day, we need each other on the field because we know the shelf life of a running back. In this day and age, you can't be running the ball 30 to 35 to 40 times a game and expect to be healthy for the duration of a season. So I know that me doing well pushes, CJ Baxter, Trey Weisner, the two freshmen. That helps very much in this room. And I certainly think keeping those bodies fresh is going to go a long way. Trey Weisner is going to be that RB3 for me beginning the year. That Texas Tech game, what he was able to do, he's so wiggly, he has so much wiggle in his game. with the way he's able to go between the tackles and kind of maneuver for extra yards. It was very impressive to watch on those final two drives that he was in with Arch Manning and that crew later in that game. But that gives me enough confidence. And, of course, I know what kind of athlete he is coming out of high school. He has the hands, and they use him in that kind of Keelan flex jet orbit motion type role. You'll be seeing a lot of him this year as well.
Yeah, I think he's the best slasher of the group. I think what's interesting when you kind of break down those guys by strength, I think Christian Clark has the best feet in the hole of anybody that Texas has. That means the jump cut, the skip cut, the powerful plus quick cuts. It'll be interesting to see of Christian Clark or Jarrett Gibson who works their way in a little bit this year. Because, Rod, I think you love it, but I think Texas is going to have more two-back this year. I think they're going to run more two back. I know you love it. What's the reason why you could see Sark running more two back in the SEC? Is it the athletes off the edge? Is it the speed? Is it the guys up front in the SEC? What is it that is going to lead Sark to playing more two back? Because I hear that's coming.
Yeah, it's a lot of reasons, right? I think ultimately it's about matchups, and you can dictate matchups and dictate personnel when you go with two tailback sets. Let's say with Texas two tailbacks, because you got a guy like Jaden Blue who can threaten you down the field with some vertical routes as a running back. If I go 21 personnel, or let's say I go 20 personnel, two backs, and they want to match me with power personnel, then great. I can always flex them out, go empty personnel like they did in the spring game. Then I can ask Quinn, a third-year veteran in his offense, to just find the matchup advantage, which obviously will be based on the prep he's done and the matchup advantage that you have across the board, depending on what they want to do. Because if they got 40 personnel out there to match up with your power packages, your power personnel, then you would have the advantage in the passing game because you would turn those run defenders into pass defenders. But say they come out in their sub packages, their nickel packages, and that's great to come out with sub packages. That also allows you to actually run the ball out of your power personnel packages because you would have the running advantage. You would have the girth and the size advantage because they would have sub packages out there turning their pass defenders into run defenders. So it's all about manipulating matchups for Sark. There's so many other different things you can do with it, though. And even Nick Saban talked about this. He's on the record. There's a quote from Nick Saban. He was on with Greg McElroy. He was on with at one point a couple of years ago. And he said that, you know, going up against two back sets these days, he said, throws off everything. First of all, we don't practice against it. We practice against spread sets. We don't practice against two back sets. So a lot of times the players don't know how to line up against two tailback sets. They don't necessarily know what their responsibilities are in two tailback sets. He said he even brought up a point where they lined up in I formation and he had to call a timeout against the team because his Alabama defenders didn't know what to do. Just out of a simple I formation. You don't practice against it a lot. And he said it throws off the angles for the defenders. Now, the angles for the defensive line, the angles for the second-level defenders and the linebackers, it throws their angles off because a lot of times now everything is built on defending spread concepts because everything is spread out. But now you're going to bring things back. And Sark likes to do this too, bring things back to a power set and see if they can defend power concepts. And it's not necessarily just power. You're bringing back, you know, some of the concepts that you got from the go-go offense, where say it's a triple option run game in a West Coast passing game. And the West Coast offense, the original West Coast offense, guys, is a two-back set. It's just a 21 personnel with a fullback. So still, there's so many – the original air raid offense, actually, under Hal Mumme, is actually a two-back set. It was actually Mike Leach who turned it into a 10 personnel grouping. Originally, Hal Mumme, it was a two-back set. Go back and check it out. So originally, all this stuff kind of comes in a two-back set. So you can always go kind of retro. And that's what I think Sark is going to do with that two-back set at one point and go retro. And the best place to use it, just going to throw this out there, we can talk about it later, red zone. Red zone. Yeah. Who, just throwing it out. Who's the best red zone touchdown percentage team in the NFL? It's actually the 49ers. And a lot of it is because of their two-back sets. They're unique in that aspect. They run more 21 personnel than anybody else. And it really screws up defense in the red zone. The reason defenses like the red zone is because the space is restricted automatically. So I have less space to defend. But the 21 personnel package is going to force the defense to do both. You got to defend the space, but also defend the power. And I think that's kind of what Sark is going to get into. So that would be my idea. I agree with you. You're going to see more of that two-back set.
All right, question here. From Chase, the past couple cycles, we constantly hear about a junior receiver who plays better than most seniors. Evan Stewart, Micah Hudson, DeCorey Martin. Is there a 26 we need to know about? Not on that level. Not for me right now. Look, we kind of said this last year. I was on record, and I'll stay on record. I thought DK, DeCorey Moore, was the best receiver in the state, regardless of a classification last year. Not a knock on Micah Hudson and those guys. I think they're tremendous talents, but I think DK Moore is just a little different. He's a different level cat. He's a super freak, and that's kind of proven out this year on the field. The tape we just watched, plus this state track meet, regional track meet, and everything else. Rod, I don't know, like DK Moore, we haven't really talked about this. He qualified for state in four events as a junior in 6A Region 2.
Wow.
One event he didn't get in was the 100, and he ran 10.45, and that's just because 10.45 doesn't even get you out of the region in Region 2, okay? So, I mean, he essentially, if he'd been in Region 3 or Region 1, he goes to state in 5. Now, obviously, a couple of those were relays, but that's long jump. That's 100. That, I mean, look, that's multiple events. DK Moore, I just think, is cut a little different. There, it's going to be a – I think there's going to be a good year receivers in 26 in Texas, but I'm not – I don't see that level guy right now. Not to say somebody can't emerge, somebody can't move into the state. There's nothing like that where I'm not going to be talking about a 26 receiver being better than 25. That's for sure.
There's a few names to know, however. The first Jordan Clay out of San Antonio Madison. He's kind of one of the higher ranked receivers at the moment. I was actually up at University High this Wednesday to watch London Smith in action. He's talking to Chris Jackson, Steve Sarkisian pretty often. Both of his parents played sports at Baylor. Mom was a track star. He runs 50 seconds sub 50 in the 400 as well. So he can go a little bit, probably 6 foot, right at that range. Of course, Jalen Lott up at Panther Creek now, previously.
He's very good.
He's very good. Now, the question with him is whether or not teams see him as a cornerback or a wide receiver. I know Texas, at the moment, last year was recruiting him more as a cornerback with Terry Joseph kind of getting in the ear of the family a little bit there as well. But that's a kid who I was able to watch some of the freshman tape of when he was at Lovejoy. And my goodness, I've never seen more one-handed catches and mossings in my life from a freshman wide receiver. You know, Hank Harris is the other one down in San Marcos. He's a big body, about 6'3", 6'4". Can run well, but hasn't put together a whole lot of varsity tape. He was ruled ineligible. He was a transfer into San Marcos. They got busted a few years ago in that regard. So he's someone to monitor as well. He's been to Texas several times. Most recently was up here for the January 20th Junior Day and I believe April 13th. But another guy that Texas is keeping tabs on. Those are the four I'm looking at right now in the state. But to your point, Jerry, none of them are DeCorian Moore. None of them are Micah Hudson. None of them, I would say, at the moment, or Jonte Cook.
Yeah, so the Keyshawn Henderson out of Legacy of School Sciences in Houston is a elite athlete. All right, guys, we got time for a few more questions here. Let's bring this one up, and I want everybody to answer this. Somebody's asking this for CJ. Who's your favorite Longhorn of all time? I got to ask Rod B this one too, and I'll throw mine in as well. CJ, what you got?
All right, so I was 8 years old when Vince found the corner. I was 12 years old when Colt McCoy got hurt. Quandre Diggs, to me, was always my guy. And I liked it. He played, you know, kind of feisty. He had that, you know, no BS mentality. He was at a time when Texas didn't have a lot of bright spots for him to be kind of outspoken and say, yeah, well, this isn't going to fly here. I love that. He played very tough. I loved it. Jackson Jeffcoat was also another guy who I loved watching growing up. Those are probably one, two that I really loved in my middle school and high school days. Of course, it's hard not to love Colt and what he did at the time, Vince as well. But for someone who made the strongest impression on me, my goodness, it was always Quandre, because regardless of the outcome, he's going to come out and pop you in the mouth, and I love that about him.
Oh, yeah, that's good. This is too hard. I got a bunch of these, but I'll just go with my couple of favorite all time. Earl Campbell, number one, because I'm a Love You Blue guy. So I loved Earl Campbell twice. I loved him as an Oiler fan. And then once I became a Longhorn, then I worshiped Earl Campbell for what he did on the 40 acres too. So Earl Campbell's probably top of that list. Ricky Williams, because Ricky Williams made Texas the Ink University again. Texas wasn't cool when I was growing up. Trust me, it wasn't. And what I say, I became an Earl Campbell fan after, you know, I became a Longhorn. I'd never paid attention to him as a Longhorn. He was a Love You Blue Oiler for me. But when Ricky Williams, a rebel with a cause, made Texas cool again in 1998. It piqued the interest of a lot of guys like me, including a 17, 18-year-old Rod B. And I thought, man, Texas is kind of cool. And it was because Ricky was cool. Ricky still is cool. Ricky's one of those dudes that'll never lose the cool factor. He was cool. It's like Dion. He was cool then. He's cool now. All the rest of us, we lose our cool. We were cool at one point in our lives, and now we realize, like, I'm not cool anymore, and that's all great. I'll cut my own hair like my dad does. You know what I mean? It's all good. I'm not cool. It's okay. But Ricky is – I saw Ricky like 2 years ago. Still cool. Never lost his cool factor, man. Ricky's just freaking cool. And then I'll go with Derek freaking Johnson, man. I recruited DJ. I remember Mac telling me we got to have this guy or we're never going to reach the level we want to be without players like him. And I'll take a little credit for bringing him here. But he did not disappoint at all, man. He was a prodigy from start to finish. Elite defender, elite player. If he'd have got to the NFL a few years later, yes. Remember all of his All Pros and Pro Bowls were later. Once the NFL became a spread league, he was in the NFL and he was still kind of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust league. They wanted to turn him into an inside linebacker, but he was a spread baby. And once he was allowed to be a spread baby, even at the latter stage of his career, he was a great NFL. He was a better player at the end of his career than at the beginning because the NFL caught up to his skill set. And he's a Hall of Fame human being. He's in like 3 Hall of Fames, but he's a Hall of Fame human being, man. I love that dude. Still, well, get to see him today because of our third Longhorns podcast. He gave the commencement speech at the College of Education. I didn't hear it myself, but I had somebody come back and tell me they were emotional after that damn speech because it was so damn good. So those are my three, man. Love those. And we could go on for hours.
Yeah, I had two, and Derek Johnson was one of them. And obviously Vince Young is, you know, look, won national championship. But Casey Hampton has always been my guy.
Yeah.
Because, and maybe it's because my dad coached in high school against Casey at Galveston Ball. So I kind of watched Casey go from 260 pounds to 280 pounds to 300 pounds to what Texas fans saw. But I never thought I would ever see a nose guard make 101 tackles in a college season.
Crazy.
Ever see a guy make 100 tackles at that position in a college season. I mean, that guy – If I was drawing up what I wanted in a football player at any position, it would be Casey's mentality and Casey's motor and Casey's toughness and Casey's willingness to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. And then he backs it up on every play. The guy never took a – Rod, did you ever see him take a playoff? Ever?
No. Even when we got blown out by Oklahoma and Mac when gave everybody a piece of his mind – the late great Daryl K. Roy was there with us, and we got blown out in 2000. It was embarrassing. And Mac basically said nobody played well. Like the whole entire team sucked. Everybody sucked from the time they got off the bus to the time they got back on the bus. And I believe Mac will tell you that Daryl K. Roy told him, said, "Hold up, man. Everybody didn't suck. Go watch Casey Hampton.
Yep.
Not everybody sucked out there.
Yep.
You need to go watch him." So he one of them dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Casey Hampton, man, one of a kind. We're hoping to get him on. Sean Rogers was on Coffee and Football a few weeks ago. He's hoping to get Casey and Sean on together for Coffee and Football. We're hoping that happens too. Guys, so I just want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in today. We're going to get out of here a couple of minutes early. But thank you very much for tuning in. Scotty got that 66. There you go. Is that the best 66 in the history of the PGA Tour? You're in the clink.
Legendary.
You're in the clink, like not that long before you teed off. You drove to the course, got arrested, taken to the clink, got a felony charge put on you, which will be dropped. It's BS. But then you come back to the course 5 minutes before your tee time and go out and shoot 66. And by the way, it's a major at Valhalla. Yeah, you're not playing. You're not playing the U.S. Open where the winning score is going to be +2, okay? I get it, but, I mean, that's arguably the greatest 66 in PGA Tour history. I'll say that.
Agreed. Most legendary.
All right. And by the way, we should tap the brakes on more to text. I'm scared of Ohio State after he took that visit recently. So I want to reset that. Thank you for the super chat, Juan, before we get out of here. So, look, I talked to somebody in his circle this afternoon or right before we got on here for the Longhorn live stream. Do not expect a decision soon. He will go through the official visit process. Plan has never changed. He'll go through the visit process. He'll go to Texas. He'll go to Oregon. He'll go to Ohio State. Question is, will he still visit LSU officially? That remains to be seen. But those three schools for sure get official visits. He'll decide July or early August, kind of like Colin Simmons did. That'll be an announcement at Duncanville High School for everybody. That's what this announcement's headed with DeCorian Moore, just like Colin Simmons. So do not expect anything soon, Texas fans. If you do, it'd be a major upset. Expect this to play out, the official visit process to happen. Then you get that decision in late July, early August before his senior year. And honestly, that's the way you should want it to go. You should not want, because DeCorian's going to take the official visits. The last thing you should want is him to come back and commit and still want to take other official visits. That's not the way it's going to go. That's not the way any school should want it to go. He's going to make those three official visits. We'll see if LSU gets an official. They were at the school Monday, 3 days before he decommitted. And then we'll see what happens. I think Texas is working from a good spot. You still got to get through the official visit process. Ohio State and Oregon, they'll push Texas. They should. It's a national recruitment. But I do like Texas' chance. I think CJ likes Texas' chances. And all right, guys. Well, everybody have a great weekend.
Hey, Gary.
Yep.
Yeah, before we get out of here, we got to thank one of our sponsors, Flat Creek, just really quick before we get out of here. And we appreciate them and all their support. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery raking in the awards, folks, and it's just a few minutes away from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek also is a gorgeous venue hosting events for the entire family all spring long. You can check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners. It is a great place, folks, to go out there maybe for a weekend, maybe a date day, whatever you want to do. As a matter of fact, and the wine is fantastic. My wife is a big fan of the Super Texan that they have out there at Flat Creek Estate. So go to flatcreekestate.com. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com for more information. All right. Thank you to Flat Creek Estate for all of their support.
And I want to say a special thank you from CJ, Rod, Bobby Burton, my producer, Matt, who does a great job. Blake Monroe will be back next week on Coffee and Football. Coach Shipley, we're 46,600 and something. Thank you all for all the support. Obviously, go to On Texas Football, become an OTF OG for $39.95, $20 off annual subscription. But thank you very much to you guys for supporting the channel, telling your friends. Look, when we hit 50,000, one lucky contestant gets the race Rod Babers in a 40. when we get 100,000, somebody gets the race Bobby Burton in a 40, and we'll all be drinking, watching it happen. But we thank you guys so much. We've loved what we've done. The additions of CJ this year, Rod, everything we've done this year at On Texas Football. Bobby Burton has a great mind behind this. And thank you to everybody that supports the channel. And we look forward to growing with you guys as Texas wins more games, has more draft picks, more commitment ceremonies. We're winning, everybody wearing the SEC logo, Rod's SEC hat Fridays. At the co-op next year on game days. We're going to have a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you to producer Matt for everything you guys do for us. And we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Welcome.
Y'all have a good weekend.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.